Okay, everybody has been sufficiently air-hugged, I guess. And so now we go into the reading of our word today. Today is in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is this: how we hear God's word shows in how we live our lives. How we hear God's word shows in how we live our lives. Now, this looks like it's a completely different story until you start reading and hearing, taking care how you hear, what's actually being taught here by Jesus. This comes on the heels of the parable of the sower. And when I was here 3 weeks ago, the last time, or 4 weeks ago, maybe now, the last time, we talked about the parable of the sower. And just a quick review, the sower went out to sow seeds. The seed encountered different types of soil. There was the hard soil of the pathway where the seed just lay there and the birds came and picked it up. There was that soil that was very shallow because it was over rocks. And so the seed came for a while, it sprang up, but under duress, that seed, the plants withered away. There was that soil that was infested with weeds and various undesirable plants. And as that seed came there, it took root, it tried to grow, but it was covered over by those undesirable plants. And then there was the fertile, well-prepared soil that received the seed, and the seed grew abundantly and multiplied itself. And Jesus took very special care, one of the very few places in Scripture where he actually explained to the disciples what this meant. And he talked about how the hard soil was that soil where the seed, the gospel, lays there and Satan comes and takes it away. The shallow soil was that soil where people receive the word of God and they keep it for a little while, but the first time trouble comes into their lives, they cast it aside, they forget about it. The soil that was infested with weeds are those people that come, they received the word with joy, he says, but then the stuff of life comes and overshadows the word of God, and it's crowded out, and so they do not bear fruit in the way that the good soil does. And he talked about the good soil, how that receives the seed, and that seed comes and it grows abundantly, and it is multiplied. And so after, on the heels of that, I should say, he then tells his disciples, he says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over. Now, he expresses this to them in a way that the only logical answer would be, well, of course not. You know, I think the current slang is, you know, Captain Obvious here. I think about a decade or so ago, we'd have said, well, duh. You know, nobody lights a lamp and puts it on a table and then covers it over. Why is that? Because the lamp addresses a need that is there. The lamp addresses the need of illuminating the darkness. If you saw the need to light a lamp, you are expressing then and then engaging that darkness that you are trying to counteract. And the thing about putting a lamp up upon a light stand is that it begins to share that light with all who come near to it. And that's the truth that Jesus is trying to express here, because he's letting those disciples know that this gospel message that went out, that he indicated as the seeds that the sower sowed out among the countryside and among those different types of hearers. And if you remember back, he said, "Those who have ears to hear, let him hear." And so this whole theme of being an effective and an obedient hearer goes throughout this passage. In fact, you could take the parable of the sower and go right on to the lamp and then to Jesus' brothers and sisters coming. And we'll talk about the brothers and sisters a little more in just a moment. But you see that the picture that Jesus is painting here is that that gospel message is not appreciated for the value that it is. If you go into Scripture, I think it's Luke 10, where it talks about the lady looking for that precious coin, and when she finds it, she calls her friends, and I found this coin. Jesus uses similar expressions where he said the kingdom of God was like a treasure out in a field, and someone would sell all that they have and give all that they have in order to buy that field because they recognize the preciousness of what was there. That pearl of great price that you would sell your fortune for in order to obtain it. And so there is a value given to the Word of God by those who appreciate it for what it is and how much it is and how it is the only way if we are to establish that relationship with God. And so it is a very precious and a very valuable thing. But those, if you go back to that parable of the sower, those that the seed just laid there, there was no value placed upon those seeds. They were not received into that soil. They just laid there. They were just something that came about. There was no appreciation for what those seeds could do and how those seeds could build up and change a life. And so the seeds just laid there until the birds of the air came and plucked them off. Those seeds that fell on shallow soil, it was just like something else within a life. And then when duress came, that person, that individual, did not see the value of that relationship with God in helping them overcome this duress, this stress of life. And so that seed was discarded. It was not appreciated for the value that it could bring into a life that is put under the stresses of life, for the stuff of life that comes to us. That seed that fell among the weeds and that it was choked out because it became just another thing in the life of that individual. Folks, you can come to church all of your life. You can bring your Bibles faithfully. But if all you come to church for is to sing some hymns, to feel good about what you did, drop some money in the plate and feel good about that, listen to some prayers, listen to me go on, and then you go home and that's all that it is to you, then you're not going to grow and bear fruit. There's an effort involved in a relationship. And as I've shared with you before, look at our human relationships as an example. Husbands, if you never paid any attention to your wives, or what little attention you may have paid to your wife was quickly covered over by other stuff that you preferred to do, do you think that relationship would prosper? Do you think it would grow? You might still stay married, but would you be getting all out of that relationship that it could be? Wives the same way. If you don't put the effort into that relationship with your husband, will that relationship be the beautiful relationship that it could be? And the same thing applies to the relationship that we have with God. If we don't put any effort into it, then it's never going to be the beautiful relationship that it could be. It can be a relationship. We can go about the busyness, if you will, of religion. But it's not going to change our lives in a way that a transforming power of the gospel wants to do. Light illuminates the darkness and it transforms it. It overcomes it. The darkness cannot overcome the light. As John says in chapter 1, talking about Jesus being the Word. He came to illuminate that darkness. And try as it will, the darkness could not overcome that light. A single match in a completely dark world will illuminate the area around that match, and that darkness will not overcome it. There's a powerful lesson in that, and we express that lesson during our Christmas Eve service when we talk about how the power of that one lighted match, equating that to the life of an individual who has received that gospel seed because they appreciated it, they saw the importance of it, and they put the effort into that relationship like that good soil did. It received that seed, and that seed took root, and it was able to withstand the stress of life. The weeds of life were not able to overcome it, and that seed came up, and it brought forth fruit in abundance. And that life was transformed. And that life, the light of that life was shared with all who came near it. Doesn't necessarily mean that you illuminated the world. But to all who came near that light was shared. And that's the message here that Jesus is saying. That seed went out and it was not appreciated because it was not received as meeting a need. And it just lay there in the dirt. Or as soon as the stuff of life came, it was cast aside, or it was overcrowded because it was just another thing in the life of an individual and was not seen as precious. But the light of God's Word that Jesus is speaking about here comes when an individual's life is touched by that light. They see the need of illuminating the darkness of a sinful heart and allowing the light of God's Word to come in and express that truth and to change that life, and to allow the changed life then to illuminate the lives of others that come in contact with that life. That is the power of the gospel message. That is the light of God's Word that Jesus is talking about here. And it needs to be appreciated and it needs to be shared. Now, what is the effect of receiving that light? He talks about that here. He says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest." Now, there's two ways we can look at this particular passage. The first one is that a life that receives that light, those who hear and receive the gospel, will then live accordingly. Those who hear and receive that gospel truth will then live accordingly. In other words, that life will be changed. That life will be affected by the light of that truth. And you will see the change in that life. Because it says, he goes on to say here, those who have that light, who have received that gospel, more will be given. That soil will produce fruit. God's grace will be multiplied in that life. But he said, to those who have not, those who do not see the value of that gospel, those who do not take it in, those who do not allow that gospel to change their lives so that they can share it with others, all that they held precious, all that they put value on, will be lost, and it will not stand in the light of judgment. Paul says in Philippians 3, all that he put value on, his being a Jew, his devoted observance of the law, all of those things, he said, amounted to nothing when Christ came and changed his life, because he saw how little that meant, that all was Christ. And if he was going to be changed by the light of that gospel, then he had to receive Christ in his fullness. And all that he had placed, all that he was depending upon to get him into eternal life, then he saw was meaningless. We put value on coming to church. We put value on all this stuff that we call religion. But without Christ being at the center of it, without Christ being the purpose of it, without growing a relationship with Christ, all that we do here is not going to stand in judgment. It's not going to stand. And the message that Jesus was trying to get across to his hearers was, see the preciousness of the gospel message. Appreciate it. Put the value on it that it needs to have, and see it for that precious treasure, something that you would sell all that you have. That's what Paul's talking about. I got rid of all that I had put value upon in order to obtain Christ and allow Him to change my heart, to allow Him to come in and take control of my life. And so if all that we do is come to church and be good little Christian girls and boys for this hour, or we try to do right and we're putting value on that, that's going to get me into heaven. Jesus is saying, you're going down the wrong path. You're like those soils that didn't show the value. You need to be like that soil that received it with gladness and gave it a good place to take root and saw the preciousness of it and allow it to change your life. The second way that we can see this is that nothing is going to be hidden. There's nothing in the heart of man that will not be made known at judgment. So be careful how you hear the gospel. There's nothing that we're doing now that we think we may be hiding from the world, from those around us, that will not be made known to God. And so be careful how you hear the gospel. Be careful how you receive it. Be careful about the weight and the preciousness, the value that you put upon it. Because it will save your life. And that's what Jesus' message is all about here. The preciousness, the value that we put upon that gospel message there. There's a great chapter in the book of Job. It's Job 24. I encourage you to read it, really. I mean, it really just speaks to our day right now and how those questions of life that some of the enemies of the gospel message want to throw shade upon God about how He could allow this and how He can allow that. But there's a section in here that I want to concentrate on. And it says here, there are those who rebel against the light. Now this is way back in the Old Testament, okay? There are those who rebel. Job's one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. There are those who rebel against the light. See, they're even talking about it back then. Those who rebel against the light, who are not acquainted with its ways and do not stay in its paths. The murderer rises before its light that he may kill the poor and the needy. And in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer also waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. And he veils his face. In the dark they dig through houses. By day they shut themselves up. They do not know the light, for deep darkness is morning, morning, daylight. Deep darkness is their daylight to all of them, for they are friends with the terrors of deep darkness. These are the kinds of people that operate away from the light. We don't want to be those kind of people. We say we're not those kinds of people. But yet all of us who fail to give the light of the gospel of God the preciousness and the value that it deserves, we're putting ourselves in danger of becoming associated with those who rebel against that light, those who run from it. And so this one is what is on the inside will eventually be made known by the actions, how that gospel message manifests itself and changes us, so that the inside then will be made known on the outside. The second one is that there's nothing that is going on now in the light and lives of men that will not be made known. So be careful how you hear. Both of these views address the point of be careful how you hear the gospel. What does it mean to be careful how you hear the gospel? Receive it with value. Place a preciousness upon it. See it for the treasure that it is. And listen and hear it in obedience. That's the message Jesus is trying to get across here. A simple message that he took all of these words, but it's a very simple message. Hear it with obedience and let it change you from the inside out. Because Jesus said in Luke 6, "For out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths will speak." Whatever is controlling our hearts, whatever is the most abundant presence within our hearts, will eventually make its way out across our tongues. And so if we're living our lives in a way that we're running from the light of the gospel of Christ, it will eventually make its way out into how we live our lives. The things that we say, the thoughts that we think, the actions that we do. And so be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Now the last part of this, Jesus' mother and brothers come and they want to see him. He's in the house talking to the disciples. Remember, he had taken them to the side, if you remember, and he's explaining this passage. And his mothers and brothers come. There's still a crowd on the outside. They're trying to get to him. A message comes. Your mothers and brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. Jesus is like, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who hear. Those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, what is this looks like a completely different rabbit trail that Jesus is getting into here. But what's the message? It's still consistent with that thought. Jesus was having to move himself from being tied to the earthly ways of recognition that his hearers had given to him, transitioning from that earthly being tied down by earthly relationships, transitioning into a spiritual relationship that would eventually be his on the other side of resurrection through the power of the Spirit. And so he was moving the understanding of his hearers here from a relationship tied by earthly bonds, mother, father, sister, brothers. I know that boy, Jesus. He grew up right down the road from me. To a relationship that would be eternal. And so he's saying here, those who want to be in relationship with me will hear my word, will hear it in obedience. When we hear his word in obedience, it opens the door for the Spirit of the living God to come and to dwell into these bodies that Scripture calls the temple of God. And so be careful how you hear. May all who have ears to hear that passage. We talked about it in Sunday school. Trevor could probably, I won't put him on the spot. But 1 Corinthians 6 talks about how our bodies are the temple of the living God. Because God dwells in the bodies, in the lives, in the hearts of all who hear obediently and all who hear in submission and surrender. So be careful how you hear this message that you are the house of God. And as I have reminded us many times, if we came in one day and this sanctuary had been defiled with graffiti and destroyed and torn apart, then we would be angry, we would be upset, we'd be heartbroken. But yet look what we do as the temple of God. Let those who have ears to hear, let him and her hear what Jesus is saying to his people. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for this message of hearing that your Spirit has preserved for us. And Father, now we ask that you will continue to allow us to live our lives in a way that we hear in obedience the word that we read and that is preached to us on Sundays and in other times during our lives. Father, may that word change us. May we receive it with gladness like the good soil, and may it grow abundantly so that we can share the light of your gospel message with those with whom we come in contact. For that is all that you ask, that we share with those you send us. As our lives are led out into this world and as we come into contact with others, may the light of your kingdom shine brightly in our hearts. And may the change and the impact, the preciousness in which we receive this gospel message be translated to those around us so that they too can know the preciousness of your word and the impact and the ability it has to change lives. Father, may all of us with ears to hear, may we hear. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.